Blog Talk Radio.
Most of the time, you don't have to think about what to do. You just go ahead and do it.
From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, welcome back to the Willie Lawson Show. You know, we've been away for about 23 hours. About 23 hours and we're back. I got 24 hours, we're back. Welcome back to the Will Austin Show here on Blog Talk Radio. It is good to be sitting in the chair. We had some weird technical stuff happen right before we went on the air. Of course, that's how it goes. That's what you have to get used to, and we're going to solve those after we're done here. We have, if you might have gotten a Facebook invite. If not, we are going live with the Liberty News, the Liberty Newscast on Friday. At 11 o'clock, and if you want to get an invite to the show, just send me a quick email that says invite me in the subject line and send it to Willie at willielawsonshow.com or libertynewscast@gmail.com. You can send it either of those two places, libertynewscast@gmail.com, and just write invite me in the subject line, and I'll make sure that you get on the email. And if I don't already have you as a Facebook contact, we're going live. And you know what? And you're wondering how that show's going to run. That show's going to run because it's going to be powered on the strength of the bloggers who write already for Liberty News and .com and Glass Fire Nation. So we're going to be the audio portion of those websites. So it's going to be great fun. It's going to be great. I mean, there's great writing, great writers, good stuff going on. Really, really, really good stuff. So I'm thrilled. Let me turn my phone down. I was expecting a phone call that I didn't get later. Let me turn the ringer down because there you go. Because that thing's going to be loud when it goes off. Today we talk about immigration. Now you and I have hinted about immigration off and on, I think this is an easy win for the GOP. I really do. I think that the GOP needs to do is they need to find something to win with. You can play defense all you want, but eventually you have to score. Even the defense has to score if you're going to win. A tie is not a win. You know. It really isn't. So the idea is that the GOP has to find something to run with, win with. And the best thing to do is to get a turnover, is to take something that is – I'm sorry, ladies, for the sports analogies. Okay, I'm not all that sorry. Is to take something that the left has been running with, take it away from them, and take it the other direction and win with it. Not go the same direction. Take it the other direction and win with it. And I think immigration may be it. I think Marco Rubio got that realization, and some other people in the GOP got that realization, that right now a win is necessary. Because they know like you know, that this is not about 2016. This is about 2013 and 2014. Let me say it one more time to you. If the GOP does not make gains or loses more ground in the House in 2014, they will be irrelevant for the next 20 or 25 years. Irrelevant. So all of this won't be. This will just be academic. This show will be on for academic purposes, and we'll talk about other stuff. But as far as backing the GOP, we'll talk about what's going to replace the GOP. That's what we'll be talking about. He said, "Well, what are you going to talk about if GOP goes away?" Well, we're going to talk about what replaces it. We're going to talk about the conservative movement that replaces the GOP, because the GOP will be irrelevant for the next 20 or 25 years if they do not do well in the 2014 elections, both in the Senate and in the House. I'm telling you. One election away from being irrelevant. So I think that Marco Rubio has figured out that you got to win. Now, not everybody's on board with that, obviously. Not everybody is on board with that. Drudge Report writes, oh, illegal immigration is now rising. Like right now, there's a whole bunch of people flooding across the border. You know, how Marco Rubio has evolved on immigration, and he has changed his position from what it was. I don't think I have, though. So the thing is, that people are going to yell at me about Marco and yell at me about some of the other people, but I haven't changed. When I thought about him, we talked about immigration in December, and I said, you know what, this is how we win. This is how we get a win. Is this the only piece of the puzzle? No, there's a bunch of moving pieces to the puzzle, but I believe that this is how the GOP gets a win. By got to stop being the stupid party. We just have to stop being the stupid party. We have to be a party of solutions. And we have to come up. I mean, this is illegal immigration has been a problem. So we have to do what? We have to come up with a solution to that problem. Now there are other problems, drugs, crime. You know, there's other problems that are going to infest the human condition for a long time. But we have to come up with solutions. We have to come up with and we have to come up with solutions that really fit what the Republican/conservative view is. We have to come up with some common sense stuff, and I think that immigration can be common sense and quick and a win. And the idea is, again, and you know what, and here I go, and I know it's going to disappoint some folks, and not to sound wacky, because some of the things that we do sound, quite frankly, make us sound wacky. And the idea is not to be wacky. The idea is to say this is a common sense solution to a problem that obviously is very, very easy to solve. So I understand Reagan got fooled, you know, and according to Levin, he was there because he said, you know, that he signed the comprehensive immigration package that Reagan signed. He signed it reluctantly. But the idea is, and you know what, and what guarantees do we have from this president? So we're going to talk about all of those things. Before we go to break, listen, there's an article out there having to do, and I saw it on Drudge again, having to do with Michelle Obama and her supposed abandonment of the Let's Move campaign. And I read a little bit of it, and the author said, oh, she hasn't done anything with Let's Move in the past 4 months. See, this is the kind of wacky bullcrap, golly, what I almost said, that you know, we really have to stop. First of all, who gives a crap? First of all, I mean, seriously, who cares? Who cares if Michelle Obama has bangs? She's a little old for bangs, in my opinion, but as long as her husband likes it, that's all that really matters to me. I don't care. If she does the Let's Move anymore or not, you know what, if it was just for, you know, for re-election, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. If she works with him again to the end of her life or she gives him the big brown finger, I don't care. It doesn't matter. And that's the kind of stuff we should just freaking stay away from. Just stay away from it. It doesn't matter. All it is pig wrestling. You know what I'm saying? You get dirty and the pig likes it. It's distractive. It's stupid. And you know what? And there are much bigger issues than if Michelle Obama is working with the Let's Move people. So you know what? It sort of bothers me that this blogger gets some space on a national blog to talk about that. And you know what? And that's the kind of crap that we really have to stay away from. This will be back with more of the Willie Lawson Show right after these messages. It's going to be fun. Hey, listen, if I know that somebody already holding, I think I know who it is. When we get back, and we'll hop right into this conversation. If you want to join us, just the number is 646-232-46. We'll be right back with more of the Willie Lawson Show.
In 1977, in Johannesburg, South Africa, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. By the age of 9, he was already outplaying him. The odds of that same boy then making it to the US and European pro golf tours? 1 in 7 million. The odds of the Big Easy winning the Open Championship once and the US Open Championship twice? 1 in 780 million. The odds of this professional golfer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. Ernie Els encourages you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1. Or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
With more of Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate you being here. And to our friends on the Google Hangout, and we're going to try that. You know what? It's funny. I thought about doing this Google Hangout. Hey, everybody. And the technical part about getting the caller's audio on in the Google Hangout, that's the part that went right before the broadcast. So if you're watching on the Google Hangout, you're only blessed to hear me. Isn't that lovely? And I'll try to do both sides of the conversation. Again, today we're talking about is the immigration situation a win for the GOP? And now I know there are people who are thinking that there are other wins the GOP could take, something bold and do something with marijuana laws, those kind of things. But today we're really talking about immigration, and we will, and I guess we're going to have to. There's no way for me to avoid it, and frankly, I'm trying because of my views on marijuana and stuff. So my personal views. So I guess we're gonna have to approach it someday. It won't be today, but it'll be someday. So everybody who wants to wants to come at me about that, then we will indeed have that discussion. But in the meantime, I'll take a call from the 765 area code. Welcome to the Lawson Show, and thank you for coming.
Uh, Hey, Mr. Lawson, it's Steve from Indianapolis. Mr. Lawson, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. You know Blog Talk has been making major changes today.
I know they work on their website. And they know it. Okay, I'm working.
I know. I wish they could have done this last night, man. Can you hear me pretty well?
You know, coming in treetop tall. I think when I play with the CB.
Okay. Yeah, okay, because you were fading in and fading out a little bit. Let me turn something off here. Okay. Mr. Lawson, can you go ahead and say something so I can see if you can so I can hear you real good?
You sound good. You sound, you know, wall-to-wall, treetop tall, as they say on the CB.
Okay. It's Blog Talk's acting up. It's been doing that. The issue, Mr. Lawson, is that when you look at the politics in Mexico, they actually disarmed themselves back in the 70s, 1971, and so the Hispanics actually vote liberal when you look at the politics of Mexico. So if we were to give citizenship to 20 million, 11 million is an old number. I don't know why they're using that from like years ago.
No, it's more like 21 million, really.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is that if you look at the politics of Mexico, they vote liberal, and I'm concerned about our Second Amendment on top of that. The corporations, I believe, is behind this because we're not really enforcing our federal minimum wage laws like in rural America. A lot of young people need to get back to work, and they're getting unemployment. And I think the reason they won't take those jobs is because they're not paying federal minimum wages. And, Tyson and different food processing plants and the farms.
But all that's got to be part of the deal. All those things have to be part of it. See, that's when I think comprehensive. All those, I mean, because here in Florida, there are farmers who are not happy about this because they're used to, and frankly, they survive on illegal immigrants as migrant workers, and that's the dirty little truth. The agriculture industry thrives on this sub minimum wage labor, and as I remember, because my dad used to pick oranges, that a lot of these jobs that are now held by illegal immigrants were held by poor whites and black people. So this whole idea that no one wants to do those jobs isn't true. But it was easier for a lot of people to go on public assistance, like you're just saying, than take these gigs. And especially because they're not paying at least minimum wage. There's no way that in the state of Florida that the strawberry farms are paying $7.85 an hour for someone to pick strawberries. That ain't happening. That's just not happening. Because strawberries would be $14 a quart if that was the truth. So this is gonna. I mean, when you push something in one side, it's gonna come out the other, no doubt. But I'm talking from a strategic standpoint. Because frankly, the GOP needs something that a lot of people can see as a solution to a problem.
But Mr. Lawson, the problem is when you look at history and elections. Half the country doesn't vote, but if you particularly look at what happened was the last time the GOP ran moderate, Mitt Romney's, he's a moderate. He's a Massachusetts moderate. He did gun control in Massachusetts, Romney care. Whenever the Republican Party runs moderates, we lose the election. That's been going back I've done some research for a pretty long time. Whenever we run strong conservatives, we tend to win the election. And the reason a lot of people don't vote is because they're seeing a blend of the two parties, kind of the moderate, like John McCain types, they're seeing them kind of liberal. And so the more we distinguish ourselves, Newt Gingrich even talked about this, the more you're farther to the right, you have that leverage when you debate somebody like Barack Obama. But the more you're to the center, that debate room is you're losing your room for leverage to separate yourself. Do you follow me, Mr. Law? So I don't think it's necessarily that, because see, 20 million more, I believe they're gonna vote Democrat, and whatever plan we put on the table, where if we take their voting rights away or what have you, Democrats are gonna outbid us, because in 2016 they're saying we'll offer you more. Yeah, we passed illegal immigration, but the Republicans, we couldn't do this, this, and that because the Republicans were in the House, and if you vote for us in 2014 or 2016, we're going to do even more than what the Republicans did in 2013. So it starts a bidding war, and then it's in African American community, they have to compete low wages with Hispanics, and it's just it starts so many issues, Mr. Lawson. And I'd rather get the Tea Party or the white Tea Party conspiracy types, bring them into the Republican Party. You see, because 70% of America is still white. It's going to take a couple decades for that to go away. But a lot of people didn't vote because they didn't. They seen Mitt Romney kind of as a Democrat, Mr. Lawson. I'm just kind of trying to be honest with you.
I understand that, but you know what? I'm looking at Barack Obama, and I'm looking at Mitt Romney, and I'm looking at Barack Obama's history, and I'm looking at his connections and his upbringing, and as much as I can understand of his world of view. And although, again, I don't disagree necessarily that Mitt Romney is a moderate. I mean, I really don't. But I still think, I don't know, and obviously I'm wrong. Obviously I'm wrong, or I'm in the minority for sure, that I see quite a bit of light between a second term Barack Obama and a first term Mitt Romney. I see quite a bit of light there. Now, I'm not the guy who just listens to Fox News all day. I'm not the guy who listens to MSNBC all day, because I'm just not that guy ever. ever. But I see a whole, you know, there. Again, it's easy to point out similarities, but I still see a whole bunch of light in between, again, a second term Barack Obama and a first term Mitt Romney. I don't think that the GOP was able to accentuate that distance between those two people. Now, whether it's real or imagined, the idea is, even if it's imagined, you've got to separate yourself from the other guy. You know what? Coke and Pepsi are a whole bunch alike, except for the people who really like Coke or really like Pepsi. For most of us, there just ain't a whole bunch of dang on difference. They're both brown, they're both fizzy, they're both sweet. I think that Coke and Pepsi do a very good job of rounding up their troops on either side and showing this huge gulf in those two products. And that's what we're talking about. And really, in this election, see, what you think about? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about products. We're talking about, can you sell your product? Can you separate it enough, excite the people who really like your product, and in that, again, real or imagined, do you show that gulf? Because I think as we move forward, I think the gulf, especially if you're still talking about people in the national political scene that have all been involved in this for umpteen years, if I look in the window, you're familiar with the end of the book Animal Farm, where they look in the window and they can't tell the pigs from the people, because the pigs are doing all the stuff they said they wouldn't do. You know, they're smoking, they're drinking alcohol, they're wearing clothes, they're standing upright, and the animals now can't tell the pig from the people. I think that's the scene that we have in national politics as it is. So that makes it doubly difficult. But there has to be a way for the GOP, especially from the grassroots movement, to at least least get folks excited enough to make a difference. Or make a switch. I don't want to say change. I hate the word change. But to make a change, at least in the interim. I think that we're trying to get to the end of the game. We need to try to get to the end of the first quarter. Because we're not getting to the end of the game.
Well, hold on. Well, the thing is, Mr. Lawson, like, if you look at the swing states, for example, on political, and you kind of, if you really go through there and kind of add things up and really look at that thoroughly, I mean, Mitt Romney was just a couple hundred, maybe a half a million votes from winning the electorate. So America, see, it's one thing if it was a Ronald Reagan landslide looking like Mike Tyson knockout in the first round type of election. It was like a half a million. Mitt Romney was a half a million votes from winning the electorate if you look at the swing states. So my thing was, if he would have been more to the right, if he wouldn't have really got into the women's issues and contraceptives and different stuff like that, I think America is fiscally conservative but socially liberal, like a Bill Clinton, the third way. I think that's probably more defines America, where if we're fiscally conservative, socially liberal, we will stomp the Democrats out probably all the time. But Democrats keep winning because they're socially liberal, and they come through, and the women are the majority in America now. What do you think about that, Mr. Lawson?
But that's an interesting point. So, you know, this, I mean, you don't necessarily need John Birch to win an election. You need somebody, and I'm going to say it. What if you have somebody, and forget all the other baggage, what if you have somebody like a Herman Cain? Was Herman Cain a better choice strategically? Strategically in the long run than someone like Mitt Romney? Because then you have all the fiscal conservativeness of what you need there. You don't have the baggage of Romneycare. You don't have the baggage of gun control. You don't have any of that baggage. Now you still have the baggage of the whole the whole giving money to somebody, some woman that your wife should know about. You have all that. But is that the kind of person you're talking about? Because if that's the case, we can get my point is still, is true. You can still get to the end of the first quarter with whomever. And I'm always saying this. You know what? You elect Mitt Romney first term or anybody of those nine first term, and you say, listen, congratulations on your win on your presidency. We're all very proud of you, but we've just started looking for your replacement. I think that that's probably what's really missing, as opposed to, yeah, we're trying to get to the end of the game. We're going to let this guy or let this girl get to the end of the game. No, I need to get to the end of the first quarter. We need to get some first downs. And right now, I'm sorry, ladies, the Super Bowl is coming up. I am using football analogies. I'm going to. We're not even getting first downs. You know, when you talk about women's issues, it wasn't necessarily that Romney brought up these issues. It was all these other clowns that referees were throwing flags on. I mean, Romney didn't bring up rape. It was all these other goofballs that brought up rape, and now it was an issue. Media hopped right in there, and now you got to address it when it wasn't. And he tried to sort of push away from it, but it was very, very difficult to. So it's going to take a concerted effort, I think, to say, you know what, we have to get some first downs. We have to start winning some battles, as opposed to trying to win the game. That's kind of, from a strategic standpoint, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at wins. I'm looking at first downs. I'm looking at, can we get to the end of the quarter? Can we not be losing at halftime?
Yeah, 409,000 votes away from winning the electoral in the swing states, like Virginia, Ohio, Colorado, and Florida. And it would have went all red. So it's just, to me, Mitt Romney was too moderate for conservatives. When we think about Virginia, I know there's Tea Partiers in Virginia, Colorado. Yeah, it's, plus to get our debt fixed, I think that's why the primaries, more moderate Republicans are being thrown out and replaced with Tea Partiers, because they want the debt problem fixed in rural America.
I remember looking at those maps during coverage for.
Yeah, but it's just 20 million, and then they're going to vote. I mean, because you know they're probably going to vote liberal. So, I mean, look at minorities. I mean, the minority vote, period. I mean, Asians, Hispanics, minorities traditionally vote liberal, if you really look at it.
That's part of the deal, though. That's part of the strategy. I mean, the GOP still has a developing urban strategy.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you support, if we're going to do immigration reform, are you supporting that they have voting rights or just workers, progress worker program? Or? Oh, you're breaking up real bad, Mr. Lott. This Blog Talk is just acting up.
Sorry. You know what? I'm not in favor of waving a magic wand. And on Wednesday, you're perfectly okay. That's sanity. I mean, there needs to be a thorough process. Filters in place. You know, if people are breaking laws, you know what? You send some folks back, and you create a reasonable path. I mean, you create a visa program that needs to exist.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh had some good pointers, though, that in '86 we did amnesty. And they did not vote Republican, did not benefit us in the electoral process. So it's like, and then whatever we do come up, if we do come up with guest worker or take the voting rights, what have you, the Democrats are going to keep out trying to outbid us, and half the country is not even voting. I'm saying let's get more of the country to vote before we just hand over more voters to the Democrat Party.
Yeah, we act like we can only do one thing at a time. But at the same time, and we mentioned this earlier in the year, at the very same time, it is extremely important to develop a GOP urban strategy. That's going to be more important over the next few decades anyway, if nothing changes because of the changing demographics, especially in the urban areas. GOP needs to develop an urban strategy, and what you do at the very same time, you don't just turn 21 million people over in an afternoon to the Democrats. You get in those neighborhoods and you do your retail political work in those neighborhoods to put your seed in the ground as the 21 million people start to get their voting rights. You got to do your work. You can't just say, okay, this is what we did, and then they tell people to remember. That's what failed the last time. That's why it didn't benefit. There wasn't any work in urban communities. There wasn't any work done by conservative Republicans in the communities to ensure that it had the fear of all those folks. They didn't do it. They didn't do their work. So who was there? So what welcome wagon was there to greet them? Well, was the Democrat liberal welcome wagon that was there to greet them. And where was the Republican welcome wagon? Not there. And that is why it failed. Hang on a second. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more of the Will Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio as soon as I can get to the switchboard. There it is. And we'll be back in a little bit. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden you trouble had speaking, understanding?
Understanding trouble? Have you sudden have or speaking someone ever confusion?
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. You could make a difference in someone's life, someone you love, maybe even your own.
It's late until, wait, don't too.
Don't wait until it's too late. Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone. At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org. Even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say that?
Really? What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Willie Lawson, and I'm the host of the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. It is great to be here today on independent media, such as Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. I want to talk to you for a second about you supporting this endeavor. Now, you know what? The folks at Fox, they have sponsors, multi-million dollar sponsors. You know, with enough sponsors, they make millions and millions of dollars a year. So you know what? They're fine doing what they do. But those of us here in independent conservative media need your help. So if you're willing to help, and if you understand the importance of independent conservative media, right now go to WillLawsonShow.com and click on the donate button at the top of the page. I'll appreciate it, and your country will appreciate it. Thank you ever so much.
All right, we're back with more of the Will Austin Show here on Blog Talk Radio and our Google Hangout. You know what, and part of the, again, let me tell you, I want everybody to know, on Friday, this Friday, is the launch of the Liberty Newscast. Yes, finally, at long last. We've been talking about this for a year or so, maybe even more, even longer than that. And we're going to launch on Friday, and it'll be a Blog Talk Radio show. And also, it's going to be other cool stuff like Google Hangouts. We're going to have Google Hangouts panel discussions. You're going to be able to see the Liberty Newscast. You're going to do shows that are going to be on Ustream and, of course, YouTube. Really expanding as far as we can expand with the things, you know, with the tools that God has given us. And that's really what it's, and that's what this is really all about. You know, everybody's remaining in their little niche and staying in the road, but we're just going to make our niche bigger. We're going to make it bigger and stay in that niche. And again, use all the forms of social media that are available to us
You'll be privy to discussions that we'll have with the Liberty News folks and Craft by Nation folks in our Google Hangouts. You'll be welcome to be invited to come in and check us out as we have panel discussions from around the country. It's going to be exciting. I know I really kind of dig this Google Hangout thing because I remember having a conversation with some folks and with Kira and Ken and some other folks. Chris Harps on Google Hangout, and golly, that was productive. We need to have another one of those because that was really enlightening. It was really enlightening, and we're gonna move forward on some of the action items. So you'll be invited to those, and we're really going to take the Liberty Newscast and expand it as far as we can expand it with the tools that we have available to us. Why? Because it's time to usurp, to circumvent the mainstream media, and get truth out there and get people motivated. And that's the thing. To get people motivated, it's so easy to watch the idiot box. And I said in church the other day that, you know, the problem with the 90-inch television screen is that you get more idiots in the box, and really encourage them and let them know that it is frustrating, and it doesn't seem like your vote matters, doesn't seem like your participation matters, but it does indeed matter. So we were talking, and we are continuing to talk about the immigration policies. Is this a win for the GOP? Maybe I should use the word first down, because right now, and if it's halftime, if we're going to consider the Barack Obama second term is halftime, we are trailing. We're trailing. The fact of the matter is that Barack Obama still owns the White House. The Democrats still own the Senate. And we've actually lost some seats in the House. So that's the truth. That is the truth. My friend Ken writes in the chat room that we have a media culture that is more concerned with American Idol Honey Boo Boo and Kim and Kane's baby. That's nasty. She's married to somebody else. the idea. First down. We need a first down. You know, we need momentum. What we don't have, and I don't think what the GOP has, is momentum. I don't hear anybody talking about that. And I just threw out today is immigration something that we can gain momentum with. Because we have to gain momentum. We have to start taking charge. Right now, you know what? It's three and out. It's three and out. It's an idea, and then we backtrack. It's three and out. Three and out. Three and out. And I'm sorry, ladies. Super Bowl is Sunday. I am going to use football analogies for the rest of the program. There you go. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use football analogies for the rest of the program. But for us, it's been three and out, three and out, three and out. And sometimes we're not only playing the other side, we're playing the referees too. And if we're going to consider the media as the referees, we're playing the referees too. So this is getting tougher. So this is getting tougher and tougher. So sometimes you just got to run the ball up the middle. Sometimes you just got to run the ball up the middle. It ain't gonna be pretty. You're just gonna run the ball up the middle. Where are we going? We're going up the middle. We're going right down the center of the field. We're following the guards. The halfback is gonna follow the fullback. The fullback's gonna follow the center, and the guards are going right up the middle of the field. And if we have to do some cut blocking, we do some cut blocking. But everybody's got to see in that sort of offensive scheme, everybody's got to be on board. The wide receivers have to sell it. They have to block. The tight end has to block. The tackles have to block. The guard, the center has to block. Everybody has to block. Quarterback's got to make a great fake, and up you go, up that zero hole, up that one hole. That's the deal right there. Bang, 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 bang. And you've got to be good with that first 3 yard or 4 yard gain. You can't go, I didn't score a touchdown, that didn't work, And that's what we do, you know, and Steve mentioned, you know, the Tea Party folks, but that's what we do. What we do is simply go, that didn't work, we didn't win, let's quit, forfeit. You know, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous, short-term, childish mentality. Because what has to happen, folks, is that we need to do what? We need to continue. You know? Continue
to do what you do. And if you run the ball, run the ball. If you run the ball, run the ball. Because the idea is, you know what, and Kim makes a good point. The GOP wants to be Obama. You know what, you can't be somebody else. You can't be somebody else. You can't out Obama Obama. You can't out. You saw it. Notre Dame couldn't out Notre Dame. Couldn't out Alabama. Alabama. Alabama was who they were, and they beat the crap out of Notre Dame. And I enjoyed it. See, I'm gonna use football analogies for the rest of the show. But the idea is that you can't do that. What you have to do is you have to win. You have to take the ball and win. So the idea is, for me, from a strategic standpoint, you know, from a strategic standpoint, what does the GOP use to move forward to get momentum? Now, everybody's, you know, a lot of people are looking at 2014, looking at 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't, I'm telling you, and I said this at the beginning of the show, and I'll probably say it at least twice more. I'm gonna write it down. Let me get a pen here, so I can say it. I'm gonna write twice. I might have two here. Okay, two. So I can say at least twice more after this. GOP doesn't make gains in 2014; they'll be irrelevant. 2016 won't matter. Doesn't matter who you are. I thought that, you know, I don't mean to be blasphemous. I think the GOP could have run Jesus and made a mess of it. I don't think it would matter. But if they don't win 2013 and 2014, right, two more times there, they're going to be completely irrelevant. So you have to find. Okay, Ken has a football analogy, and I'll read it in a second. You have to get some momentum. You've got to get momentum. You got to get going. And everybody, and you know what you have to get? You have to get everybody going along with it. Ken writes, keeping with my football analogy, if your team's strength is running the ball, then you don't send the person to have trying to show people that you can pass. There you go. I mean, if your strength is running the ball, run the freaking ball. You know, don't play action. Run. And get everybody on board, because you know what happens. You know what happens when something gets momentum. And we see it happen. We see it happen in everything. We see it happen in politics. We see it happen in sports. We see it happen in business. You see it happen in everything. Once something gets momentum, you get more people behind it. Once it seems like it's working, you know what? All the people who were the naysayers who would sit on the couch, they show up. They kind of buy in. Do you notice that? Which is why it Vince Priebus, are you listening? If not, you're putts, because you need to be. Are you watching, Lenny Curry? Because I'm going to send this Google Hangout to you. Are you watching? Because I mentioned your name in it. I did. Lenny Curry, chairman of the Republican Party of Florida. The idea is, Lenny Curry, is that you got to get momentum. Do what you do. If you run, you run. If you pass, you pass. If you whatever you do, and but whatever it is, you got to get the GOP has got to get momentum. And I'm throwing out there, and I know that a lot of are really conservative people listening to the show, and I'd love to get your input on using is immigration a win? Because here's the problem now, or the situation. Marco Rubio stepped out to lead that. You know, I'm, you know, ever since, you know, I met Marco Rubio, and people got excited about Marco Rubio, and they want, I mean, there are people who wanted Marco Rubio to run for president, and or at least vice president, blah, 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 blah. Now that Marco Rubio's got his feet under him for a couple of years and decided this is an issue that he can step out on. Now he's kind of stepping out alone, isn't he? Remember what I said about John Boehner? Remember what I said? I don't know why John Boehner just doesn't turn, throw a crying fit, give everybody the finger, and ask Jim DeMint if there's something, you know, if he could watch Ditches at the Heritage Foundation. Because knowing full well
that however you step out, you're going to be wrong. Now, again, John Boehner, not a movement conservative, not. Somebody who's been in Congress for a billion years. I don't mean this whole expectation that he's going to be this staunch Tea Party guy is just insane. Of course, he ain't. Okay, he never was, and he's not going to be. And neither is John. And neither was John McCain. Although he was all mavericky, whatever the heck that is. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I know a lot of people support Dr. Paul, but here's a realization about Dr. Paul. Dr. Paul spent a lot of time in Congress as well, didn't he? And what do we have to show for it? I mean, I ain't hating. I'm just asking a question. Dr. Paul spent an awful long time in Congress. We have a show for it. Tell me that government is smaller because Dr. Paul was in Congress. Tell me that government is less far-reaching because Dr. Paul has been in Congress for 30 plus years. I mean, somebody tell me that's true. Show me that's true, and that's not because you can't. Because it isn't. The fact of the matter is that at a local level, we have not done our work. And now that we need people, now that we need an offensive line to run the ball, we don't have it. Now that we need a fullback, a blocking fullback, we don't have them. Now that we need a wide receiver that'll go out and run that in pattern and blow that safety up, take him off his feet, we don't have him either. All we have is a mamby-pamby. Oh, yeah, we haven't done our work. The GOP hasn't done their work at the local level in the urban community. They haven't. And we haven't asked them to. The idea is, you see, we're all or nothing here. You know what, because I said this before, and I'll say it again. Are you really thinking that we can go around and arrest 21 million people? And rent a whole bunch of school buses and send them back to Mexico or wherever they come from. Is that really possible? My idea, is it really possible? Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible to round up 21 million people, round them up, and send them home? Dude, I mean that's my question in just logistics. Is it possible? Is it feasible that it can be done? I don't personally think it's possible it can be done. Even if you closed every border with hundreds and hundreds of miles of razor wire and rabid pit bulls and gun turrets, so people couldn't get in or out. Is it possible to round up 21 million people, process them, send some to jail, send some back to Mexico? I don't know if it's possible. I really don't. I don't even know the logistical nightmare of it. I don't think it's possible. I know my friend Ken says yes, and he says it'd be cheaper too. See how I'm being fair? See, there's a dissenting opinion in the chat room, and I'm airing it. But I just don't think it'd be possible. I think it's you know, and I really have a problem. And I know these people are illegal, and I keep using the word illegal because they're illegal. I have a problem with this whole idea that we're going to be knocking on doors and rounding folks up. you know, I understand. I get it that these people have committed a crime. They've committed a federal crime. I get it. I just don't know why. I just don't understand. See, I think that we can protect our borders. I think that we need to militarize. You see, I ain't no punk. I think we need to militarize our borders. I think that as this drawdown is happening in Afghanistan, we need to take some of those same assets and put them on our southern border.
Yes. Those same assets. Those same things that these communities are buying, the tanks and the whole nine, we need to go ahead and do that. I understand. I listened to Martin Levin last night, and Martin Levin made great points that Obama is not even enforcing the immigration laws that we have now. What guarantee do we have that he's going to? And the answer is none. None. We have no guarantee. No guarantee that the president will enforce anything else. I think that he's going to go out there and double down on the nonsense and take whatever momentum that... See, here's the deal. Whatever momentum that the president saw Republicans getting, he's going to go to Arizona and take it. He's going to go to New Mexico and take it all away. It's going to all be taken away because he's going to double down and he's going to make the situation impossible. And you know why he's going to make the decision impossible? Here it is, Don. Now, I'm looking at this from a completely strategic standpoint. Please understand me. I perfectly understand that we have, I'm quoting to Mark Levin, an imperial president. I get that. I do. Please don't think that I think that, you know, I've said, you know, if you listen to my archives, you've said here a billion times that Barack Obama is not a regular politician. He's a different cat, completely different cat. I understand that. But from the GOP standpoint, how do they gain momentum? Do they use, you know what, I mean, if the consensus here is that immigration is not something you use, and that's what we'll come up with, and that's what we'll, and we'll go to, and we'll, I'll go to bed with that, that's fine. But the idea is that the GOP needs something and needs something now, and I'm of the mind that immigration is something that they can take charge of, that they can secure these borders. Now, the hard part, now the easier part now is because they still have control of purse strings, because they control the House, they can fund the strengthening of the borders. Before, they didn't have that. You know, Reagan didn't have that. They can't, because right now, they have the purse strings, and they can fund it. Now, how long will they be able to fund it? I don't know. Right now, they can fund it because they control the House. If they can get a bill passed. Just kidding. We can just sit on the boards and say, hey, you can come in, just sign this thing here. Yeah, okay, you vote Republican, that's good. And then we don't have to worry about it. Well, you know what, this whole save the taxpayers, but I mean, this costs the taxpayer money no matter how you do it. Think about right now. If the GOP doesn't take charge of this, the left's going to. They are. They're going to double down anyway, and it's going to be more expensive. My prediction, and it's just my prediction, I'm not anybody really, my prediction is that the president's going to talk about making sure that illegal immigrants have access to health care, Obamacare. And that's gonna and if that doesn't blow the butt end out of the economics of the country, nothing will. And he's gonna want that sooner than later. He's going to double down today in a real way that he sees the GOP making momentum, moving forward. We'll take all that away today. Because he saw the infighting in the Republican Party. He saw the infighting. We've got to get a first down, kid. We'll be back in a little bit. Talk about, in the last half hour, talk about what we're going to do, what we need to get, what we need to do, what issue we need to push forward in the short term. In the short term, that gives us a bunch of first downs. We'll be back with more of the Lawson Show right after these messages.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call 911 when they're experiencing uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Did you know that just 30 minutes a day of physical activity can improve your health and decrease your risk of heart disease? For every hour of regular vigorous exercise, you gain 2 hours of life expectancy. So start walking for yourself and for your heart. Start walking with your family. You'll feel better. Start walking in your community. You'll lead happier and healthier lives. Start walking. Start something. Join the movement today. For more information on the American Heart Association's START program, visit startwalkingnow.org and start walking. Start something.
Here on Blog Talk Radio and on my Google Hangout. You know what? We've not been able to get the callers in and out, so we're gonna fix that. Though we're actually gonna work on that this afternoon and tomorrow. Bingo, bango, boingo. I love that phrase. I don't know where that. Anybody know where that came from? Bingo, bango, boingo. Is that even okay to say? It's like, you know, we say things all the time. It's like, oh, is that even okay to say? Bingo, bango, boingo. Yeah, we can get it fixed. We worked on it before. We can get it fixed again. We've done it before. We can do it again. Today we're talking about is immigration a win for the GOP? Is developing a program that can actually be worked, is it a win? Now again, at the same, we always forget. At the same time, you got to do a whole bunch of other stuff. My friend Steve, who called, said, "You know what? My idea is not to wave a magic wand and today they're illegal and tomorrow they're. You're passing out voter ID cards. That's not a good plan. That's just not a. That's not how you do it. That's a problem.
That's not how you do it. My plan is that the first year or first 2 years of the plan, you don't change anybody's status. You spend that time securing the border. You spend 24 months working on securing the border. You don't change anybody's status. Everything is the same. Because if you don't close that door, you're going to have an influx of people. Then you're going to have an influx of folks that you thought 21 million people was going to be burdensome. You could have twice that. I don't think they can win if they don't start making gains. Now, I'm not saying that a Republican is going to come in there and win the national. Start. I'm not even looking at the chat room right now. Don't start. Isn't Hillary Clinton with a big old hickey on her head? And I'm really doubting. I'm doubting that her health is going to let her do this. She is not a young girl. She's not somebody who is as vibrant as a Sarah. The goal was at the time. She's just not. She's kind of wore down. she's kind of wore down, and she's got some health situations and some health situations that she's had for a while. So my deal is this: my understanding of it is my understanding as I look at it is this: we've got some opportunities coming up, and we have to work in the urban community. Before we can talk about changing anybody's status, we have to work in the urban community. Again, we act like we only do one thing at a time. These things all have to go together. The comprehensive GOP plan has to be get a win. If you get a win in immigration, then you've got to go down and lay the groundwork in those communities. Like I said to Steve, the problem the last time was that, Reagan signed the bill, but there was no welcome wagon in the barrio. There was no welcome wagon in the barrio. Sorry. That was waiting to receive these folks. No welcome wagon waiting. Oh, yes, passed citizenship. Here we are. Here's the conservative blah, 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 blah. In your community, in the barrio, people speaking Spanish saying, hey, listen, we want to get you on your feet. We want to get you make sure that you have access to the things you need to have access to. We want to make sure that you're hooked up with your family. We want to make blah, blah, blah. We're here too. Where was that? Because the thing is that is going to have, that's how it has to be done. And I know that is, people aren't excited about that, but that's how it has to be done. That's how it has to be done. How's it going to work in the African American community, the black community? Well, you know what? The GOPs around the country are going to have to start setting up their office or satellite offices in the urban community, staffed by people who look like the community. Well, man, everybody play identity politics. Yes, you do. If you want to win, you better. GOP needs to be setting up offices in the Asian community. Yes, they do. Let me rock you with something. You ready? And GOP needs to be in places like Michigan setting up their offices in the Islamic communities. Ah, that's exactly right. Because if you're not there, you're invisible, and you can't expect something as precious as votes. How can you expect it? Stupid. You know, this whole idea of the GOP expecting a black vote, and all you have to do is put up a, you know what, all Francis Rice has to do is put up a billboard that says Martin Luther King was a Republican, and black people are supposed to go, oh, crap, well, I need to vote Republican then. Blah, blah, blah. Well, you see how well that worked. That worked great. What a great strategy that was. And I love me some Francis Rice. I do. But that's not a winning strategy. It just isn't. Tried it twice. Failed both times. I mean, it failed. You know, that double flea flicker, it just doesn't work. The first time he got sacked, the second time he got picked off and run back for a touchdown. Yeah, don't do that in the game, in this game anymore. Don't think it's going to work a third time. You know, and that, again, back to the football analogy. I told you, I'm using football analogies for the rest of the program. GOP needs to develop a strategy in the urban community while winning the battle on immigration, while leading something in Congress, something that forces the president's hand. Now, the president is a bad mofo because he, you know what, he understands this strategy stuff. He gets it. I'm telling you, he understands this whole strategy thing. He does. You know what, please do not underestimate the president of the United States. Please don't think he's stupid. Please don't think he doesn't get it. He gets it a lot more than you do, most of y'all. Please don't think he's dumb, because the president ain't dumb. You may disagree with the president. You might. You may wonder what the hell he's doing, but you know what? He knows exactly what let me help you. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's doing what he needs, what he thinks he needs to do to further his agenda. That's what he's doing. Is he doing the things he needs to do to get to the place he wants to get? Yeah. Now, our job is to do the things that we need to do to get to the place that we need to get. There you go. Are they rolling their quarterback out because he's short and he can't see over the line so he can throw downfield? They're doing that to get to where they need to get to. Do we have a 6'7" quarterback who's strong and can stand in the pocket? Well, we need to do that, whatever that is. Please don't. You know what? I think part of where we fail then. Part of where we fail is that the GOP is not doing their work, not doing what they need to do to get to where they need to be. That's it. And it doesn't matter. We have to understand, it doesn't even matter how you are characterized. It doesn't matter what Brent Musburger says. That, well, you know what, the Green Bay Packers have been a running team primarily. Well, except when, they had Brett Favre. You know what I'm saying? Except when they had the gunslinger Brett Favre. And some pretty doggone good wide receivers. For a few years, that they won a Super Bowl, you know the whole. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter how you characterize. The media will try to characterize you, and the media has done a very, very good job in characterizing the GOP, rich white folks who don't care about poor people. Well, that's just not the truth. It just isn't the truth. They've been characterized that way. And now they're even behaving like they're actually that character because they're, rich people. Well, let me tell you about that. Let me tell you, someone mentioned that in the chat room. Let me hip y'all with something. At the highest levels of both the GOP and the Democrat Party is a bunch of rich white people. Just saying. And to say that there aren't is just ridiculous. Come on now. Come on now. And I'm not holding the water. I'm not carrying the water for anybody. I've said this before. The people who helped me in my campaign weren't the richest people I know. The richest people I know didn't help me at all. There you go. The wealthiest people that I know personally didn't help me one bit. The wealthiest people I know didn't help me get to Virginia. The people who are hardworking helped me get there. So you know what? At the top of both these parties, the people who are pulling the strings and you know what, and doing what they need to do are all wealthy people, are all rich people. So this whole idea that the GOP has been characterized as haters of the poor, are you kidding me? Who characterized them as that? Other really, really rich people who don't give a crap about poor people either, who need poor people to vote for them. How cynical is it? I mean, how cynical is all that? So to get even, for me or you to get even wound up in all that stuff is putting ourselves right where the powers that be would have you be. Think for yourself. Think for yourself. And the idea, we had this, you know, anyway, Ken, could you, thank you. You know, the idea that these people, these people, or the 535 people who are in Congress are thinking about the most downtrodden on the day. No, they're not. And these are the movers and shakers that get these people elected. What we have to do on this side is use these vehicles to get to where we need to get. I'm not carrying any water for the GOP and the uber rich. No. Okay. There's some stuff in this room that I'm not going to address. I mean, it's just silly. The idea is that they have been characterized as something, that GOP has been characterized. And now they have to stop caring about that characterization. They have to stop caring about it. They have to get a first down. And you know what? They have to get a first down, and if it's immigration, then they need to use that to get a first down. And let me help you with it. They need a first down in the next 2 weeks. If President Obama goes into New Mexico, doubles down, destroys the momentum of the Republican Party, you know what you got? Nothing. You have silence. You have nothing. What's the next issue that you bring up that you can win with? It's not the debt debate. We've been banging that drum for 30 years. You're not going to win that. You're not going to win that debate. That doesn't give you momentum going forward. You know, my friend Ken said that, you know what, we have a media culture that cares more about American Idol and Honey Boo Boo and Kim Kardashian and Kanye West having a baby. A little nasty self. You know, when you have that, as your dominant media culture, how do you win an argument as seemingly simple to you as if you let people keep more of their money, it's better for them. You know, if you let them keep most of their money or more of their money, it's better for them. It's better for everybody. And that people don't have to pay for one another. That's the deal. You know, if I have more of my own money, then I can help the poor. That, hell, I don't become the poor. the simplicity of that is just lost on the Honey Boo Boo crowd. It just is. The simplicity of that is lost on the Honey Boo Boo crowd. It's just lost on them. You can't win that argument. That making sure that I'm not poor helps me help them. Helps me take in a relative. Helps me take in kids, helps me sponsor a child, helps me participate in the Big Brother, Big Sister program. Helps me participate in those programs while I'm not out struggling to pay taxes. Helps me, gives me time, gives me more time with my own family. That argument is lost on people. We can't win with that argument. And I know it seems nuts to you. I know it seems crazy to you that you keeping more of your own money is a problem somehow. That somehow government is supposed to swoop in like Robin frickin' Hood and help the poor. Well, isn't it interesting since the 1960s, since Johnson's War on the Poor, that we have more poor people than ever, that we still even have poor people? Republicans haven't been successful in that. When have taxes gone down? When? No one's been successful in that. No one's been successful keeping people from being poor. You know, I relived this story a few months ago. My wife and I had just been married. We've been married 25 years now, praise the Lord, and she is the most wonderful woman in the world, period, including your mom. We were struggling. Both of us was working. I was working as an assistant teacher at Dowdell Junior High School, and my wife was working not as a lab technician, but she was working for the a blood bank in distribution. And we were struggling. And I remember her coming home one afternoon and just in tears because she was frustrated. Because right in front of her at the grocery store, there was somebody who had like this big, huge, two full carts of just every sign of food and meat and blah, 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 and they paid in food stamps. And that's when you had to have, for the card, you had to have the stamps. You know, and she had a little, you know, little half basket for us, you know, for her and I. And she got home and she was just so, because this is a woman who works 16 hours a day. And I had two jobs. I worked at Dowdell. I worked at the junior high school, and I worked at the High Life Fronton at night. And we were just barely keeping it together. She was so frustrated, but because we had the jobs we had, we didn't qualify for food stamps. And I've never seen her as frustrated since. I have never seen her as frustrated since. And it broke my heart. So I'm wondering, you know, and I don't, you know, if people need help, I ain't against helping nobody. If people need help, you can help them. But this poor that everybody keeps talking about, I don't see many of them. And I work, I live and work in the hood. You know, my wife now is a manager of credit union, bless her heart. She's a rock star. And she sees the so-called poor show up and get in line. I'm going to take a picture of it. They get in line. Ken, you'll appreciate this. They get in line out front of her branch on the first and the third. They have lawn chairs to get their SSI or whatever they get, disability, whatever they get. They line up, and sometimes they have lawn chairs, and they're playing cards. These people, the poor. And she often looks at their account and goes, damn, they got more money in their account than we got in ours. Because some of them are getting a break on their housing. They don't have to pay for health insurance. They have either Medicaid or Medicare. I may have more money in their damn bank accounts than we have in ours. So I don't even know who these poor people are. I'm sure we have poor. I'm sure we do, because Christ said that the poor will be amongst us always. So I know there are poor people. But these poor people that everybody keeps throwing up in my face all the time, I don't see many of them. People who are depositing the SSI, the disability checks, while
while texting on their iPhone 5s, that ain't poor. Hell, they don't even have Obama phones. Some of these people come into the credit union depositing their disability checks. Nobody in the house is working, and they've got an iPhone 5. Everybody in the group got a damn iPhone 5. So please stop telling me about poor people and how the GOP hates poor people. What poor people are you talking about? Which poor people are you talking about? Point them out. And let's get them help if they need help. Let's get the people who have lost their homes, had to file for bankruptcy, pull their kids out of college. And that's all over the spectrum. That ain't just black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Islamic. All over the spectrum, people are doing that. Those are the people who are struggling. We struggle. I'm not poor. I last night and for a whole bunch of nights, I spent living indoors. There's food in my house. Yeah, true that, exactly. You know, my friend Ken writes, I'm poor, Willie. Please direct deposit your paycheck into my account. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that, and then we'll move to D.C. and live with you. Yeah, Ken, no problem. So just because one struggles doesn't mean that you are poor. This sounds like the stereotypical nonsense, but it's true. When you drive through the projects, when you drive through the housing development and there's an open window and you see a big screen TV in there, you're thinking, who the hell is poor with a big screen TV? You got to start looking at this stuff more realistically. All right, I got off the bean, and I apologize. Here's the deal, folks. We'll be back tomorrow with more fun, more frivolity, more exciting news. And remember, Friday, is the debut of the Liberty Newscast here on Blog Talk Radio. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be great fun. It's going to be powered by the words of the folks at LibertyNews.com and Grassfire Nation. It's going to be an hour power, bang, 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 bang. And I hope that's not illegal. So there you go. all right, folks, thanks again for coming. We appreciate it. And tell your friends, if you like what we do and you want to help us out, just go to the WillLawShow.com website and click the donate button at the bottom of the page under my picture. And my picture is me looking good without the beard. You like the beard? You don't like the beard? My wife likes it, so it doesn't really matter what you think. Anyway, we got to go. Thanks so much for coming. Just like always, go out there and learn something, love somebody. And for goodness sakes, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, we are out of here. And take care of yourself. No, we're only doing 90 minutes today. Thanks so much, Casey. Appreciate you. God bless. Bye-bye now.